Chapter 46. By daylight the great mass of the men is across the water. At six the rain ceases, the mist uncovers the face of the sun, which bristles on the helmets and bayonets of the French. A hum of amazement rises from the Austrian hosts, who turn staring faces southward, and perceive what has happened, and the columns of their enemies standing to arms on the same side of the stream with themselves, and preparing to turn their left wing. Napoleon rides along the front of his forces, which now spread out upon the plain, and are ranged in order of battle. Dumb show ends, and the point of view changes. Scene 3, the field of Wagram. The battlefield is now viewed reversely, from the windows of a mansion at Walkersdorf, to the rear of the Austrian position. The aspect of the windows is nearly south, and the prospect includes the plain of the Marchfeld, with the Isle Danube and Laba in the extreme distance. 10 miles to the southwest, rightwards, the faint summit of the Tower of St. Stephen's, Vienna, appears. On the middle left stands the compact plateau of Wagram, so regularly shaped as to seem as if constructed by art. On the extreme left the July sun has lately risen. Inside the room are discovered the Emperor Francis, and some household officers in attendance, with the war minister and secretaries at a table at the back. Through open doors can be seen in an outer apartment adjutants, equerries, aides, and other military men. An officer in waiting enters.
Officer, during the night the French have shifted, sire, and much revised their stations of the eve by thwart and wheeling moves upon our left, and on our center projects unforeseen till near accomplished. Francis, but I am advised by oral message that the Archduke Charles, since the sharp strife last night, has mended to his earlier dispositions, and has sped strong orders to the Archduke John, to bring in swiftest marches all the force he holds, and fall with heavy impact on the French from nigh their rear?
Officer, 'tis good, sire. Such a swoop will raise an obstacle to their retreat, and refuge in the fastness of the isle, and show this victory-gorged adventurer that striking with a river in his rear is not the safest tactic to be played against an Austrian front equipped like ours.
The Emperor Francis and others scrutinize through their glasses the positions and movements of the Austrian divisions, which appear on the plain as pale masses, emitting flashes from arms and helmets under the July rays, and reaching from the Tower of Neusiedl on the left, past Wagram, into the village of Stemmersdorf on the right. Beyond their lines are spread out the darker-hued French, almost parallel to the Austrians.
Francis, those moving masses toward the right I deem the forces of Klenna and Kollerath, sent to support Prince John of Liechtenstein I his attack that way?
An interval.
Now that they've gained the right there, why is not the attack begun?
Officer, they are beginning on the left wing, sire.
The Emperor resumes his glass and beholds bodies of men descending from the hills by Neusiedl, and crossing the Russbach River towards the French, a movement which has been going on for some time.
Francis, turning thither, where we are weakest. It surpasses me to understand why was our center thin to pillar up our right already strong, where naught is doing, while our left assault stands ill supported?
Time passes in silence.
Yes, it is so. See, the enemy strikes Rosenberg in flank, compelling him to fall behind the Russbach.
The Emperor gets excited, and his face perspires. At length he cannot watch through his glass, and walks up and down.
Pen useless here, my nerves annoy my sight. Inform me what you note. I should opine the Wagram height behind impregnable.
Another silence, broken by the distant roar of the guns.
Officer, Klenna and Kollerath are pounding on. To turn the enemy's left with our strong right is, after all, a plan that works out well. Hiller and Liechtenstein can join there.
Francis, I hear from thence appalling cannonades.
Officer, 'tis there, your majesty. Now we shall see, if the French read that there the danger lies.
Francis, I only pray that Bonaparte refrain from spying danger there till all too late.
Officer,
involuntarily, after a pause,
ah, heaven!
Francis, turning sharply, "Well, well? What changes figure now?"
"Officer, they pierce our center, sire. We are, despite, not centrally so weak as I supposed."
"Well done, Bellegarde."
Francis, glancing to the center, "And what has he well done?"
"Officer, the French in fierce fume broke through Addercliffe, but Bellegarde, pricking along the plain behind, has charged and driven them back disorderly. The Archduke Charles bounds thither, as I shape, in person to support him."
The Emperor returns to his spyglass, and they and others watch in silence, sometimes the right of their front, sometimes the center.
"Francis, it is so. That the right attack of ours spells victory, and Austria's grand salvation. ...
Time passes.
Turn your glass, and closely scan Napoleon and his aide's hand galloping towards his center left to strengthen it against the brave Bellegarde. Does your eye reach him? That white horse, alone in front of those that move so rapidly.
Officer, it does, sire, though my glass can conjure, not so cunningly as yours.
That horse must be the famed Euphrates whom the Persian king sent Bonaparte as gift.
A silence. Napoleon reaches a carriage that is moving across. It bears Massena, who, having received a recent wound, is unable to ride.
Francis, see, the white horse and horseman pause beside a coach for some strange reason rolling there.
That white horse rider, yes, is Bonaparte, by the aides hovering round.
New war wiles have been worded. We shall spell their purport soon enough.
An interval.
The French take heart, to stand to our battalion steadfastly, and hold their ground, having the Emperor near.
Time passes. An aide-de-camp enters.
Aide, the Archduke Charles is pierced in the shoulder, sire. He strove too far in beating back the French at Addercliffe, and was nearly ta'en. The wound's not serious. On our right we win, and deem the battle ours.
Enter another aide-de-camp.
Second aide, your majesty, we have borne them back through a spurned village street and Essling is recovered. What counts more, their bridges to the rear we have nearly grasped, and panic-struck they crowd the few left free, choking the track, with cries of, "LL is lost!"
Francis, then is the land delivered. God be praised! Exeunt aides. An interval, during which the Emperor and his companions again remain anxiously at their glasses.
There is a curious feature I discern to have come upon the battle. On our right we gain ground rapidly, towards the left we lose it, and the unjudged consequence is that the army's whole commingling mass moves like a monstrous wheel. I like it not.
Enter another aide-de-camp.
Third aide, our left wing, sire, recedes before Davout, whom nothing can withstand. Two corps he threw across the Rusbach up to Nusaidal, while he himself assailed the place in front. Of the divisions one pressed on, till lodged atop. They would have been hurled back, Francis, but how goes it with us in some? Pray say.
Third aide, we have been battered off the eastern side of Wagram Plateau.
Francis, where's the Archduke John? Why comes he not? One man of his here now were worth a host anon. And yet he tarries.
Exit third aide. Time passes, while they reconnoiter the field with strained eyes.
Our center right, it seems, round Nusaidal, is being repulsed. May the kind heaven forbid that Hesse Homburg should be yielding there.
The minister in attendance comes forward, and the Emperor consults him. Then walking up and down in silence, another aide-de-camp enters.
Fourth aide, sire, Nusaidal has just been wrenched from us, and the French right is on the Wagram crest. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.